Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
You can't Bible verse your way out of trauma.
Mental health is science. The Bible is not enough.
Real counseling doesn't talk about sin.
But God says the heart is deceitful. He says sin is deadly. And more importantly than all of that, God says Christ is sufficient.
If I promised you I could make you better without Jesus, would you want it? And if you say yes, I got a lot more serious questions.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The man you're about to hear needs to be labeled. This is Wretched Radio, a lies my therapist told me by one Dr. Greg E. Gifford. One wonders what that E stands for. Elvin? Evan. We'll find out in just a moment. But this man who wrote this book, he needs a label from where the DSM-5, you see, this book, Lies My Therapist Told Me, is a Scud missile, and it is aimed directly at the secular therapeutic. It's the big psychological industrial complex, billions and billions of dollars, and this book goes straight after it. And I thought to myself, what kind of a guy would think, who would have so much chutzpah. You got to cover your mic when you do that. Chutzpah to think that he is going to be able to tear down the secular therapeutic. So, Greg, this is what I did. I went to the Googler machine. I think it was AI. And I asked DSM to give the label of an individual who just thinks that they can accomplish things massive. Would you like to know what your three label choices are according to the DSM-5?
Of course. Yeah, these are very important to me.
All right. This you are suffering from narcissistic personality disorder. That's option one. You've got delusional disorder. That's number two. Or you're a word faith Christian. Those were the three options right there. Okay. The last one, I made that up. But Greg, that would be your label, and that is one of the contentions of your book, Lies My Therapist Told Me, that this big industry labels people. How many people these days are being labeled with some sort of emotional or psychological or mental disorder?
Right. We're at like upwards of 1 in 5 people, maybe as much as 1 in 4 people have a mental illness, so-called mental illness, that is. Yeah.
And it's growing. I read a statistic. Now this is, but you can bring your statistics, but I read a statistic. I think it was in Great Britain from 2008 to 2018. Those that were diagnosed with autism anywhere on the spectrum was up almost 800%.
Yes.
Do you think that people actually are increasingly autistic or are increasingly ADHD? Is it the labeling system? Is it the broad diagnosis, the criteria that they give? Why is everybody on the spectrum?
A spectrum disorder, autism spectrum disorder. People are even debating, should it be a mental illness or mental disorder to begin with? But what's happening is the diagnostic criteria is loosening. So everybody then qualifies. So what you have, diagnostic inflation, because what was once considered abnormal is now normal, and what's now normal was then considered abnormal. So the diagnostic criteria changes. And when the diagnostic criteria changes, more people get sick. Sick with air quotes, not an actual disease or physiological illness.
Mm-hmm. And these maladies that everybody purportedly has, would you run us through this? This is going to get a little heavy with chemistry and biology and scientific lingo, but just hang in there. Greg, tell us, how do they go about the business of scientifically diagnosing people with some sort of DSM malady?
Good. I appreciate the setup there, because there is no empirical way to verify you have a mental illness.
What?
100%.
There's no empirical way to know if you have a mental illness.
Dr. Thomas Enzel, whom I quote in the book, says, the DSM-5 lacks validity and verifiability. We can't say you have it. We can't prove you have it. And we can't prove you don't have it.
Okay. So no blood tests?
CT scans, MRIs.
Hair. We find it in the hair.
Vitamin deficiency.
Your analysis. Wait a second. I got your science. Dr. Daniel Amen, from the Amen Clinics. He does brain scans and he shows normal versus abnormal. So that's science,
right? Yeah, right, good. Now show causation, Dr. Amen. Show us why your brain changed in the first place. And that's something that he'll never be able to do. Is it the chicken or is it the egg? Is the brain responding to something or is it causing something? That's what folks like Dr. Amen cannot demonstrate.
Yeah, that there's a difference between, hey, it seems to be, but we don't know that it's causing or if it's just correlating. Right. Okay. So no scientific backing for diagnosing millions and millions of people with a mental health disorder. That alone, I think, should give people pause when it comes to the issue of using secular psychology or integrating it into biblical counseling. Lies my therapist told me, Dr. Greg E. Gifford. What does the E stand for, Greg?
Eduardo.
It does not.
Life's a mystery, Todd. What? Life's a mystery.
Come on.
Next,
get it up.
Next what segment. You have to get it in the next segment.
No, I needs to know. I gots to know.
Okay, here's the teaser. Family name, Eugene.
Okay, what are you apologizing for?
I didn't apologize.
For?
I love it.
Eugene, it means good genes, right? Oi and Guinness or right. Something mm-hmm. like that. Sure. Eugene. So you know what? That'll be perfect when you're 85. In the meantime, he's written a book called Lies My Therapist Told Me, Why Christians Should Aim for More Than Just Treating Symptoms. So are you saying, Greg, that people's personality issues, emotional issues, they're just symptoms?
Good. What I'm saying is the source of why you do what you do comes from your inner person, not your body, to include your brain. And if you're blaming it all on the brain or the outer person, then you are a functional naturalist. Everything has a biological explanation. So what's happening in the mental health culture is instead of exploring the inner person, which is the mind and the heart biblically, we are creating medical terms, medically sounding diagnoses, and then treating you with psychotropics when there's no verifiable way to demonstrate you actually have an issue of your body. So as a Christian, we should be extremely skeptical when someone says, you have an illness, but I have no way to prove that you have that illness.
But here's a prescription to help.
That's right. Oh, and your kids get a prescription too. Your 11-year-old is on that same prescription.
Yeah, and let's talk about those SSRIs. Do they know how they work?
It's all hypothesis. So think of the chemical imbalance theory as serotonin. It affects moods. And as a neurotransmitter, we can take SSRIs and affect the neurotransmitter, the chemical imbalance. So because serotonin must be connected to depression, we give you antidepressants and you feel better. But the reality is we're not measuring which neurotransmitters are whack. There's too much or too little. We're playing a game of hot and cold with SSRIs. Did that help? Yes. Did that help? No, I feel like a zombie. Okay, we back it off a little bit in milligram dosage. And there's no empirical science. It's all verbally assessed.
But didn't I read, Greg, that it's even worse than that, in that they discovered was within the last year or two that serotonin, the frontal lobe, does not seem to be the source of depression and anxiety. Am I remembering that
right? I don't
right?
know, but I do know that the Wall Street Journal just published an expose on Xanax and some of the long-term damages of Xanax. So what we don't know is those that are on antidepressants, stimulants, anti-anxieties, we don't know the long-term effects on their body. And this study was showing how when individuals were coming off of their Xanax, it was tormentuous. Like, they're having an awful time, withdrawals, neurological problems. I mean, like, we know you're not treating the real issue. You're treating the symptom. And now there's actually dangers to your physiological, your anatomy, your body in taking these antidepressants.
All right. I got to know this besides your middle name. What's going on? I mean, you know this. You're not Columbo. It's all public record. Why do we keep writing prescriptions if we don't know how they work, if we don't know what they do, we don't know what the side effects necessarily are, or if the side effects is what they actually do? Why do we continue to be peddling millions of dollars of pills every day?
Yeah, there's a naturalistic worldview that the unbeliever, so the secular therapeutic, secular psychiatrist is caught in. And that naturalistic worldview doesn't believe in a material you. So it must be a problem of your body. That's it. So you want to make your client or you want to make your patient happy and they have problems. So you give them a prescription that must be fixing the problem. So you meet with them for 17 minutes. They go on, they have their prescription. And then now you're free to move on to the next client and bill the next client and keep moving throughout your day. Like naturalism is what's dominating our world. And that's why I think we as individuals who receive counsel and care, we're a bit more open to, well, there must be a brain issue here without pausing and carefully asking, if it is a brain issue, how do I know that?
See, I was looking for something more nefarious, which I think is actually a part of it. Furthermore, your 17 minutes, that was not a random number. Finally, let's ask the question, what is the reason that people are naturalists and how does the Bible separate the mind from the brain? That is a million-dollar question, which won't set you back that much if you get this book, Lies My Therapist Told Me by one Dr. Greg Eugene. Oh, I'm so sorry. That was so unprofessional. Dr. Greg E. Gifford, you can find it at FortisInstitute.org/lies. This is Wretched Radio.
25 years. That's a quarter century of standing firm for biblical truth.
This is Wretched Radio.
Through every cultural shift, every challenge, every opportunity to proclaim God's truth, you've been with us. And for that, we're grateful. What started as Wretched Radio has grown into something remarkable. Today, as part of Fortis Institute, we're reaching more believers than ever before. Our daily podcasts and radio shows, video content, and biblical resources continue to strengthen local churches and equip the saints just as we've done for 25 years. But none of this would be possible without faithful partners like you. You've helped us reach millions with the unchanging truth of God's Word. As we celebrate this milestone, we're reminded that our mission remains the same, serving the King of Kings by strengthening His church. Join us at FortisInstitute.org as we continue this journey together for 25 more years of faithful service.
Until tomorrow, go serve your King.
We live in a world where feelings are ruling the day. Truth, that's optional. Love, redefined. Your emotions, let them run wild, or better yet, shut them down completely. Neither extreme is biblical. But on The Better Way with Libby Glossin, you're going to find something rare. Intelligent talk radio for women that isn't swayed by culture. No truth bombs without love, no sugarcoating without substance, just a balanced biblical approach to the tough questions you're facing every day. Emotions aren't meant to be ignored, but they're also not meant to rule you. Boundaries aren't the answer, but neither is blind trust. And feminism, it's not about equality anymore, it's about dethroning God. If you're tired of the empty words and the shallow advice, it's time for something better. It's time for The Better Way with Libby Glossin. No platitudes, no nonsense, just the truth wrapped in wisdom. Because in a world full of compromise, there is indeed a better way. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a dollar today doesn't go near as far as it used to. It might buy you a soft drink. But what if your dollars could multiply? For 25 years, our gospel partners have been watching their giving multiply. Every month, their faithful support transforms into college campus evangelism, biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And when you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, understand this. You're not just giving money. You're preaching the gospel to a student at Georgia Tech. You're discipling the young man struggling with pornography. And you're equipping a pastor in a small rural church. And the work, it's nowhere near finished. The fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership makes it all possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org, because when faithful people give faithfully, the gospel advances powerfully. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Names of God. Is Jesus God? One name given to God in Scripture is El Gibor, the Mighty God. One occurrence of this name stands out in Isaiah chapter 9,
El-Gibor is the name given to the promised Messiah. Jesus is that promised Messiah. He is God incarnate. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The distinction between the mind and the brain, it's crucial, and it might actually affect your family. This is Wretched Radio. Lies, My Therapist Told Me, by Dr. Greg Gifford, who is a Fortas Fellow. This book is a blockbuster because it is aiming squarely at the secular therapeutic. We have all been under their sway for decades now, and so many people, between 1 in 4 and 1 in 5, are now actually diagnosed with some sort of mental illness. And millions of people are taking medications that, as we have heard, we don't know what they do. We don't know why they do it. We don't know how to get off of them without side effects. Furthermore, the side effects can sometimes be downright dangerous and scary. And yet, secular psychology rules the day. And that includes, unfortunately, inside of too many churches. And I think understanding the distinction between the mind and the brain will bring profound clarity to the issue. Dr. Gifford, coming to us all the way from foggy, smoggy California. How's the air out there today, Greg? We had an earthquake here in Atlanta. We felt the tremors anyway. And I looked around. It was not Kevin Bacon and Reba McEntire. It was an actual tremor from Eastern Tennessee, which is very rare, but it happened in Tennessee. We felt it down in Atlanta. I don't like them. I don't, you guys, you Californians,
we don't want them. Yeah, we're sending them your way. We don't want them anymore.
We've got our tornadoes. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's enough.
You give us the rain, we'll give you the earthquake. It's the swap.
What is the distinction between the mind and
the
brain?
We have to clarify, as a Christian, is the brain and the mind the same thing? Because the secular therapeutic has combined them and started to use medical terminology like mental health when talking about the mind. But you got to pause and say, what is the mind biblically? And according to the scripture, your mind is the immaterial seat of your cognition, your volition. And when we talk about your mind, we're not talking about the organ of your brain, which is in your cranium. So those are two different terms, and we've conflated them. And when you do that, what happens is you begin to just assume a brain issue. So now we're downstream. We're using terms like mental illness, and I'm getting a medical doctor to help me with my mind. But when you pause and think, okay, as a Christian, Romans 12:2, I'm transformed in my mind. Ephesians 4:23, I'm renewed in my mind. The medical doctor doesn't know what they're working on. A psychiatrist doesn't know what they're working on because they don't have basic divisions of, is this a brain issue? Dementia, Alzheimer's, TBI, concussion, or is this an issue of the mind? And that confusion that I demonstrate in the book, that confusion has led to the epidemic that we're facing today.
All right. But your answer, though, raises a question. I just heard you say that there's a distinction between the mind and the brain. The mind is the inner man. It's the real you. The brain is the organ. But you just said something like Alzheimer's. It does affect us. And you said that's a brain issue. So is there biblically any sort of connection or relationship between the mind and the brain?
Of course. Yeah. We don't want to communicate dualism like the outer man is evil, the inner man is good. But what is the source of your cognition, your intellect, your volition? What's the source? Where does it come from? Your mind. An easy example, Christians watching this know that when their body perishes, to include the organ of their brain, they will still think. We will be thinking beings even when our body fails us. What does that show you? You know that your mind is operational even when you are brain dead. We know that. So what's the relationship between the two? There's a chapter dedicated to that in the book. So check out the book for the longer answer. But the shorter answer is, your brain is like the filter through which your mind is expressing itself. And can your brain be damaged? Yes, it can. And can that influence the way your mind expresses itself? Of course it can. But that is also not to say that your mind is failing or non-operational. That would be an inaccurate extrapolation. Thoughts come from your mind.
All right. I think you just said the mind can affect the brain.
Yes.
Correct? Can the brain affect the mind?
It can influence, not cause.
It can influence. Why do you make that distinction?
Because the cause is immaterial. Your material can't cause your immaterial, biblically speaking. My body can't make my immaterial do something. It can encourage it to. Don't sleep for 48 hours and watch the way your body influences your inner person. But what is the source of my thoughts? At the end of the day, it's never my brain and it's never my body. It is always my mind.
All right. So with that being well-defined, the distinction between the mind and the brain, so what? What difference does it make?
The world of difference, because if you believe that the mind and the brain are the same thing, you're going to take on the zeitgeist of our age, which is you need mental health treatment. So let's go to a psychiatrist. Let's go to a psychologist. Let's go to a therapist. But now you're meeting with people that don't even understand the mind biblically, and they're going to help you with your mind. One of the cases I make in the book is if you're meeting with an unbelieving therapist, they actually have a mind that is hardened, calloused, unregenerate. And now you as a Christian are going to go get help from someone who has a hardened mind with your mind. We have to, as Christians, we have to wake up and say, what is happening here? It makes a world of difference that you understand these two.
Okay, so I'm thinking to myself, because I have inner dialogues all the time with lots of us, that that's so intuitive that spiritual things are spiritually discerned. To go to somebody who is unregenerated because they simply have some sort of documentation on the wall that says they're in a lot of school debt, why then are so many Christian pastors sending their regenerated people to unregenerated men and women?
Oh, I don't know, Todd. This pains my soul. It pains to sit under a therapeutic pastor. It is foul. You know, that is a foul thing as a pastor to do. You are called to be excellent in your doctrine, and you're punting your pastoral care to a hired shepherd. But a hired shepherd that doesn't understand people basically. And you, this would be fun, but maybe a nerdy thing for later. You can actually study a history of pastoral care and see how as pastors were trained in seminary, it moved into clinical pastoral education, CPE. So instead of being trained in the word, we were taking psychologized theories and teaching them to pastors. And then now pastors are teaching those from their pulpit to their church. So downstream, what's happening is people are getting psychology from their pastor, and some of it even coming on a Sunday morning.
It's got to be a sufficiency issue.
Yeah,
that seminaries and pastors think we need to go to the experts on mental health as opposed to running to the Bible, which has all of the answers that we need for life and godliness. So it's got to be grounded in that, at least to some degree, because there are some pastors that will say, you know what? Hey, Greg, we dig your biblical counseling thing, but for the hard cases, we need to send them out to the professionals.
Yep.
Is there a hard case the Bible cannot address?
Yeah, if you have sound doctrine and godly character, you are the professional. So you got to, pastor, you are the one. And I recognize pastoral time and limits of that for sure. But who is the professional? Not the unbelieving therapist. They don't even know basic anthropological categories. Like, is this a mind issue or brain issue? They don't even believe in the soul. They don't believe in the gospel. Who's the real expert? Not them.
Sin.
What about sin? What about forgiveness? What about repentance?
What about the human condition? Right. Which I think is actually one of your chapters, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right. So your natural state in your natural mind, I talk about that in the book of pastor, if you really know your word, you're going to hear what that therapist is saying and go, wait a minute, something's off about that. And so that means pastor, you have to sober up and say, if I think that's good and I'm referring people to a therapist, then what does that say about my understanding of the scripture?
Or my belief in the potency of the scripture.
Yep, or sufficiency.
And its ability to do its work. Yeah, it's a sufficiency, which is a kind of a big deal these days. Lies my therapist told me, why Christians should aim for more than just treating symptoms, not just picking away at the fruit, but getting to the root. And secular psychology, because of their starting place and their worldview, they never are going to go that deep. They can't go that deep. And so ultimately, people just aren't going to get the help that they need. If your family has been slapped with a label, and chances are very high, Greg, I know they wanted to do that to your son.
Right.
I know they wanted to do that to my daughter. Believe me, if the DSM, well, it probably would have been three when I was a kid. If the waters were filled with the secular therapeutic, I would have been drowning in them. I would have been probably institutionalized because of the DSM. And it's devastating and it's confusing. And perhaps they're encouraging you, you need a prescription. You need cognitive behavioral therapy. I encourage you, I implore you, please get this book, Lies My Therapist Told Me. It will help you understand the issue. It will help you understand psychotropics. And I'm telling you, you're going to click your heels. It's like, yes, there's a much better way to approach mental health. Lies My Therapist Told Me. Greg Gifford, fortisinstitute.org/lies. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. The madness that has been taking place in Loudoun County, Virginia over the last several years has reached a new depth of absurdity, if you can even believe it. A female student who identifies as male walked into the boys' locker room at Stonebridge High School, started filming on her phone, and now the boys she recorded are being investigated for sexual harassment. Their crime? Expressing discomfort among themselves, saying things like, there's a girl in here. The girl who violated school policy by recording minors in a locker room faces no punishment, while the boys who were victimized are being prosecuted. The Virginia Attorney General and U.S. Department of Education are both investigating this incident, but somehow parents just keep sending their kids to Loudoun County schools. Colorado's Christian persecution continues as a Christian camp I'd Rather Have Jesus, expects to be shut down under Governor Jared Polis's transgender law. The 77-year-old camp, operating on 262 acres since 1948, faces closure for maintaining biblical standards that God has immutably created each person as either male or female. Polis's law demands the camp allow children to use bathrooms and bedrooms based on gender identity, forcing Christians to choose between their convictions and the law. And one observer noted, LGBTism has become Colorado's official state religion that we all must worship accordingly. But enforcement of actual laws has been producing pretty remarkable results in Colorado, as Denver's homicide rate plummeted 58% in the first quarter after ICE began its crackdown. Who would have guessed it? Removing violent foreign criminals makes communities safer. Meanwhile, the Trump administration deported 8 murderers and rapists to South Sudan, criminals so uniquely barbaric that no other country would take them back. This includes convicted murderers, kidnappers, and child sex offenders. Yet a district judge in Massachusetts is trying to force their return to America, leading DHS to slam the absurd attempt by a local judge to dictate the foreign policy and national security of the United States. That was their quote. A culture of death expands in Delaware as it becomes the 11th state legalizing physician-assisted suicide, with their Democratic governor, Matt Meyer, claiming it's about compassion and dignity. Timing is pretty grim, coming the same week after Joe Biden's team announced his cancer diagnosis. It always starts with the terminally ill, but it never ends there. Just ask Canada, where assisted suicide for the mentally ill was only paused due to doctor shortages, not moral concerns. And in corporate news, Home Depot embarrassed Walmart by announcing that it will not raise prices due to tariffs, noting that over 50% of their purchases are U.S. sourced and no single foreign country will represent more than 10% of their supply chain. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at fortisinstitute.org. And don't forget, you can also subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Know your church fathers. Clement of Alexandria was an apologist in the late 2nd century. He ran a school in Alexandria, Egypt, where he instructed new converts and trained Christian apologists. He taught that only Christianity, with its revelation from God in the Bible, has the answers regarding creation, good and evil, and salvation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You received the dreaded phone call, and now you're scratching your head wondering, what do we do with our child? This is Wretched Radio. This story, it is not an exclusive. In fact, it is a common tale of parents who get brought into the educator's office. They receive the phone call. We need to talk to you about your child with fear and trepidation. You go sit in a little teeny tiny chair. That just doesn't affect you at all. And the teacher informs you that your child has ADHD. And then, amazingly, they open up their drawer and they happen to have business cards. Wow, shocking, where you can go to professionals and experts and doctors so that you can get your child a prescription for SSRIs. What do you do? That story is so common. Dr. Greg Gifford has written a book. It is titled Lies My Therapist Told Me. Greg, I got to tell you something. First of all, the forward alone is worth the price of the book. Amazing forward. And the guy tells that very same story. Greg, could you tell a similar story?
We could all probably tell a similar story of our kids being questioned on their capacities, a learning disability or ADHD. And now our school psychologist has a test, a written test, by the way, not a lab work, not a CT scan or MRI, a written test to diagnose them with a disorder, a mental disorder from the DSM-5. So we're in a generation where if your kid's not doing well sitting in a chair for 6 hours, they must have a disorder, right? Like we should just pause and be like, hey guys, there's a bigger narrative. There's a bigger story going on here. No, they're not sitting well for 6 hours. So we must diagnose them with something.
Yeah, 6 hours for a kid. For some of us, that was waterboarding. Right. I mean, we were just fidgety, which is, by the way, that's one of the marks that your child has ADHD. They fidget. My daughter's story was that if somebody walked down the hall, she'd turn her attention from the teacher to see who it was. I call that inquisitive and curious. They called it ADHD. Greg, your son was brought up on charges of ADHD.
That's true. It even came up again this spring. So as I wrote the book, and it was fifth grade or sixth grade, I forget the grade off the top of my head, where we did the whole school psychologist evaluation. We want to test him to see if he has a learning disabilities, ADHD. But even this past spring, we again, same son, met with two school psychologists who began to tell us the way that anxiety works for kids and sent us a YouTube video on the way that anxiety affects the brain. And now all of a sudden, I'm sitting in front of two counselors making mental health assumptions when my son's grades were bad. So we went from bad grades to there must be a mental health explanation for why he's doing what he's doing.
Wow. Right? All right. Was there encouragement then to not just watch videos, but to maybe get a prescription?
You're going to love the encouragement. My wife and I still chuckle at it. When he gets tense, encourage him to take his hands, to push them together and to squeeze, and then to release. And that will help with his anxiety. And so the hardest part of that meeting was actually not laughing through the whole meeting. What the takeaway is, though, seriously, is we're just jumping to, okay, you must have a mental disorder. You must. Instead of like, you need to work harder, you need to discipline yourself, you're really good at other things, but you're not focusing here. We're just going to immediately jump to words like anxiety or ADHD. And so I went into that meeting communicating, if you guys use a mental health term at all, mental illness term at all, I'm out, we're out. Don't use that term with my kid in this situation. So they didn't. They used anxiety and they talked about the brain a lot. They gave us weird recommendations, but we didn't leave there because I was so assertive and clear about the way that the meeting was going to go and how I didn't want any diagnostic criteria or diagnoses thrown around.
Well, I bet they were like, who is this guy? Well, he's the author of a book called Lies My Therapist Told Me, Dr. Greg Gifford, fortisinstitute.org/lies. Let's walk through this, Greg. Your child is diagnosed unscientifically. You're feeling the pressure. You got a complaining principal. You've got, and you notice it too at home. Kids a little fidgety, got lots of energy. walk a Christian parent through how they should process receiving the phone call and then being informed their kid has ADHD?
Our kids, first of all, are created differently. And ADHD is a very standardized way of evaluating everyone's giftedness. So why is it that that conversation is coming up? It's probably related to poor performance in academics at school, probably. And maybe some behavioral stuff. So what your school psychologist and teacher are trying to do is to get additional resources that come from the Individual with Disabilities Act.
There it is. There.
It's true.
So, it's right there. I was looking for that nefarious reason for all of that. There's money this.
So okay. You have to have a diagnosis to get those resources. So, they have a C. Let's test them. And why are we testing them? Because we need a label. And why do we need a label? To actuate or realize the resources that come with IDEA. So as a parent, you're thinking like, well, I don't want to hold back what's good for my child. I want to help them. These are the experts. This is what they're recommending. So you're getting pulled into this lazy river, funneling your kid into therapeutic terminology. And you have to be able to pause and say, but wait a minute, how are you diagnosing them? Who are you comparing them with? You mentioned this, I think it was last week on Wretched, the youngest student in the class. The youngest student in the class is the one most likely to be diagnosed with ADHD. And the greatest difference is your birth month. Are you born in August or September, depending on when school lets you start as a five-year-old? The youngest students in the classes are boys who are less developed, less mature, and they're the ones with the most probability of being diagnosed with ADHD. So then what do we have? Like, we need to get more resources. Who's being diagnosed? The youngest, least mature kids. As a parent, you should just say, well, wait a minute. If this is actually a disorder, then let's take them to the medical doctor. Let's do the scans, the tests, the labs, and let's find the physiological problem with them. And if there is no proof that there is a physiological problem, then you as a parent are going to say, school psychologist, thank you, but please keep your label perspective to yourself. We don't want to hear it. And please don't label my child with your made up illness.
All right. But they say, no, really, we maybe didn't notice I've got a number of degrees on the wall. You need to take this medication. Should a parent ever consider an SSRI for their kid?
Sure. Yeah, sure. And I answer that in the book too, in depth. The answer is, would you ever drink a cup of coffee to stay awake? Focus a little bit. Adults do this at work all the time. Go grab a cup of coffee, get back to work. Helps me focus. Is it possible that that SSRI is helping the symptoms of what your child is facing? Yes, totally possible. It's not treating the cause. It's helping manage the symptoms. Does that mean that it's really helping long-term? Well, not if I'm avoiding the cause. If I'm failing to address the cause, I'm not really helping. It's like taking Tylenol and managing pain, but you're not dealing with why you have pain in the first place.
Okay, but Greg, right away, I'm like, well, hold on a second, though. We just talked about the reason the kid's being diagnosed is because they've got ants in their pantsitis and they can't focus on assignments. And you use the word giftedness. Okay, so they don't have a super long attention span. So what? That's the way that God made them. Should I give a kid like that a prescription for being
There's
young?
A difference in can I and should I. Could, should.
Right. No, but what? How do I know if my kid could possibly maybe consider an SSRI to help them versus, no, that's just entirely inappropriate. Right.
Wait, let them mature a little bit. Let them get out of the junior high age and into high school. See how they're able to discipline themselves. Ask yourself questions like, are they able to focus in other areas of life that they really enjoy? And what you'll find is most kids, the answer is yes. They can watch a movie for an hour and a half. Locked in, super focused. They can play video games for 2 hours, 3 hours with no breaks. So what does that show you? Your kid has the aptitude. They're just having to learn to do things that are boring and difficult. And sometimes, sorry to make fun of school, but sometimes school is just boring and difficult. And students are learning they have to persevere.
Yeah, and to give them a label and then a medication. when they just, in fact, I would say this, I would bet money that if you took a student, let's say in ninth grade, who's struggling, that's the zone typically for diagnosing these kids, ninth grade, finish up the school year, oh, their grades are terrible. Rather than giving them an SSRI, have them repeat the ninth grade. I'll bet their grades would improve because of maturity, right, not because of medication. Dr. Greg Gifford's book, and it's called Lies My Therapist Told Me. It'll help you, mom and dad. You need this book, Pastor. You need this book because we are the experts when it comes to mental health. You can get this book at fortisinstitute.org/lies. This is Wretched Radio.
The world says you're broken, a victim of chemical imbalance, just another diagnosis and a long list of mental health labels. But what if they're wrong about you? What if there's a completely different perspective? Dr. Greg Gifford, a Fortis Institute Fellow, is challenging everything you've been told about mental health. In our exclusive forum, Psychology versus Scripture, The Truth About Mental Health, Dr. Gifford will reveal why the Bible never describes anxiety, depression, or emotional struggles as diseases, but instead offers a framework of sin, suffering, and sanctification. You're not defined by psychiatric terminology, and there is a path to true transformation that medication alone cannot provide. Join us for an eye-opening Fortis Forum that will help you break free from worldly definitions and find lasting peace in Christ. You can watch this Fortis Forum, available right now for free at fortisplus.org. That's fortisplus.org. Your journey to true transformation begins right now.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number six for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Truth. It's meant to travel far. It's meant to reach deep. It's meant to change lives. But for far too long, even the best biblical teaching has faced barriers, paywalls, price tags, limited access. And at Fortis Institute, well, we've been thinking differently recently. What if we could break through all of those barriers? That's why we're launching our Truth Unhindered initiative. We have extraordinary plans for the end of 2025, plans that will transform how pastors and families and seekers access life-changing teaching. But to make this vision a reality, we need you now more than ever. Right now, going on through June 30th, every dollar you give will be doubled up to $250,000. Double the impact, double the reach, double the transformation. Visit fortisinstitute.org/truth today, because when truth breaks through barriers, lives are never the same. fortisinstitute.org/truth.
Books of the Bible. The book of Daniel is about one man who submits to God above all else and God's faithfulness to his people in all circumstances. Daniel's prophetic visions teach us that God raises up and tears down kingdoms. All earthly kingdoms will pass away, but God will establish an everlasting kingdom. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
How big? Blockbuster big. This is Wretched Radio. It looks like a typical book. It is so much more than that. It is a blockbuster because it is aiming at something monstrous that affects all of our lives, that is causing so much confusion in Christian circles. How do I deal with so-called mental health? What do I do with these prescriptions they want to give to my kid? Lies My Therapist Told Me by Dr. Greg Gifford offers a thoroughly biblical approach, which is why I encourage you, I implore you, get the book. Lies My Therapist Told Me, FortisInstitute.org/lies. But there's another reason that this book is a blockbuster. Greg, who is the publisher of this book, Lies My Therapist Told Me? Would it be Zondervan? Would it be Tyndale?
No, their mom is doing it. That's HarperCollins, the second largest publishing company in the world.
And they are affiliated with which church?
I wondered the same thing. I wondered the same thing. I really did. I was like, you are interested in publishing this book. Okay.
My book. You understand, like, Bible right. And biblical conflict.
And I'm not removing the Bible, right? I'm not taking the Bible out. You're okay with that, right?
If you took the Bible out of this book, it would be super thin. But it's loaded with Bible, and it's being published by HarperCollins, the second largest secular publisher in the world. It is a massive organization. And Greg, I can say this without feeling like I'm patronizing. They have been spectacular. Have they tried to edit the guts out of this thing?
No, they've actually emboldened me to be clearer on certain things.
Wow.
Seriously.
No, they wanted you to be stronger. Yeah.
And not in a clickbaity way, but like, hey, Greg, clarify this statement or support your claims from the Bible. And what James has done, James Neidhart, what he's done is forced me to even be clearer in my own thinking, which then expresses itself in my writing. So kudos to them all the way.
And, you know, kudos to James. He's the editor for my book coming out next year. He has been so helpful and he has stretched me. And I've taken what I've learned from this young man and I've been applying it to pretty much everything I do, whether it's writing or speaking. Structure, structure, structure. What's your premise? Make the case. Stay focused on it. Don't go off into tangents. Just powerfully deliver your premise. And wow! And so it's HarperCollins, this is amazing. In fact, the one chapter that I think that helps to illuminate how amazing it is that a secular publisher has published Dr. Greg Gifford's book, it's the chapter titled Treatment versus Transformation. What is that chapter about in this secular publisher's
book? I originally proposed the role of salvation on the mind. That was Greg Gifford's title. And James said, no, this is it. Treatment versus transformation. What are we talking about? How does salvation actually capacitate and affect your mind? And when you look at this chapter, I show you the mind before Christ and the mind after Christ. And that's all, it's directly from the scripture. So what do you need, treatment or do you need transformation? That's the real question. And when you look at the Bible is going to say, treatment and health, quote unquote, mental health, treatment and health are inadequate and not enough. We need transformation.
And the transformation comes from
God, the Spirit at the moment of conversion.
Oh, you did. Wait. You didn't mention the name of God in this book, did you?
I was like, wait. What, Todd? Of course. Titus 3:5, baby. We need regeneration in order to have a capacitated mind.
It's Mr. Baby to you, but that chapter is loaded with gospel because people need to understand. So you got to preach the gospel.
100%. Unedited. 100%. Totally clear.
I'm telling you, this is really a big, important book. Lies My Therapist Told Me, Dr. Greg. Gifford, did you get beat up a lot because of that?
That's why I didn't want to tell you. I knew you would do this.
Well, then why'd you put it in your name? Oh, that's to make you look smarter. You put the initial in. Is that the deal?
Strike two, Todd. Strike two.
Here's what I would like to do with this book, to more than wet your whistle, but to help you understand how this will help you to understand what is being, well, sometimes just imposed on you by teachers, academics, school psychologists. There's a better way. So, Greg, I'm going to read the chapter title and you're going to explain, just give me a as pithy as possible explanation of what this chapter is about. Are you ready?
So.
What then of mental illness?
Is mental illness even a legitimate category? And my answer is that you can experience sadness and not have an illness of your mind. You can
Wow. That's how encouraging is that?
It's literally coming out of this diagnosis that has no empirical evidence, no way to verify you have it. And then saying, yeah, you can be sad. You can respond to trauma, but that doesn't mean you have a mental illness. It's time for Christians who know their Bible to reject the concepts of mental illness.
Well, but if I'm not mistaken, you can correct me on this, but I thought it was for instance, a widow grieves for longer than 6 weeks, they've got depression, anxiety, disorder, dysfunction. Right. Really? Right. Really? We're putting a time limit on mourning? How nice to know it's okay to mourn. In fact, Greg, it did not feel sad at the loss of a spouse. That's kind of like wrong and broken. Right. You should. It's human.
Right. Here's the idea. We're taking normal behavior and stigmatizing it and taking abnormal behavior and destigmatizing it.
Lies my therapist told me, fortisinstitute.org/lies. Insanity and the mind. What's that about?
I show how you can be out of your mind, to use the idiom within scripture, you can be out of your mind, and yet that is still different from a mental illness, quote unquote mental illness. The Bible has a category for people when their immaterial mind does not match reality, the truth of what is actually happening in time and space. And that is insanity. That's what that chapter is about.
So is it the mind that's insane or the brain that has something broken?
Right, it's both. It's both. You are rejecting truth at the level of your mind. You're refusing to receive correction. You're believing lies. And you have bodily issues, physiological issues that are encouraging you to do that.
Chapter 12, disorder, disease, or disobedience.
Your brain does not cause you to look at pornography. And your brain,
dude. Right?
The disease model of addiction is wrong. Like, we just have to say that it's wrong. It's unbiblical. It's not truthful. It's not accurate. It's all of those things. Your brain doesn't make you call your drug dealer. You chose to do that with your mind.
This could be a YouTube parody. Dude, I couldn't help it. Like, I wasn't wanting to do drugs, but something in my brain, it actually made me pick up my phone. It actually made me dial. And then it actually made me use the words to say, hey, I want to come get a bag of pills and things, whatever you say to a drug dealer. That's utterly ridiculous. You choose that.
Right.
So it's a decision. It's not a disease. And it's also just being disobedient. Now, again, how liberating is it to know that you don't have a disease, an addiction, and instead you're enslaved to sin? How does that help
somebody?
Right,
as a Christian, you know that you never have to sin. You never have to sin. Can sin take a toll on your body? For sure. Now, we could look at a drug addict's brain and see the damage of their sinful choices on their body, for sure. But you as a Christian can be renewed in your mind and have a mind that is transformed so that not only you don't do drugs, but you don't even want to do drugs anymore. That is progressive sanctification.
And that is hopeful. Amen. Lies my therapist told me. I'm telling you, important, important book for so many reasons. I turn to the back, which is what most people do. The second they get a book, they hardly read the cover. And the first thing, we just intuitively flip that bad boy over. I'm seeing the endorsements from Johnny Artabanis. That kid, he's a comer, I'm telling you. The Johnny Artabanis. I'm serious. I've seen some of his preaching. Relbert Moeller. I know an Albert Moeller, but this is a Relbert Moeller Jr. You don't suppose they're related? Megan Basham. John Kratz. He's one of our Fortis fellows. Dr. Abner Chow. Emil Zwane. He's on the board here at Fortis Institute. These are endorsements up. Erwin Lutzer has endorsed the book, so many others. And again, it's worth the price of admission for the forward only. Trust me on that one. The book is called Lies My Therapist Told Me. Dr. Greg Gifford, encourage you, please get it for the sake of your family. And the result will be you'll actually have hope, encouragement, joy, clarity. And you'll be doing things more biblically. Greg, as always, you're the best, baby. Dr. Greg Gifford, Lies My Therapist Only, FortisInstitute.org/lies. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.